All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to focus on live bait rigging, and we have a resident expert here that just loves it. Sometimes it drives me nuts. I'm like, we're not live bait rigging today, Mitch.
But come on.
Yes, he's usually right, and he's good at it.
Our very own Minnesota native, which I think, like, you are born, the doctor smacks you on the ass and sticks a Lindy rig in your hand.
So what three live bait rigs do you want to talk about tonight?
Let's talk about Lindy rigging, just because it's fun and effective. Vertical jigging with live bait. And let's talk about pulling slow death behind bouncers.
Which one do you want to start with?
You know what? Let's start with slow death, just because last night I was on Facebook, and some guy said, his post was, hey guys, I want to start fishing slow death, but would you guys put beads on, blades, any of this stuff? Well, I had to read the comments, like I know everybody does on Facebook, right? And just see kind of what people were saying. And I was laughing because a lot of people have opinions of beads and blades and stuff like that. But you would not believe all the comments that were written down by, oh, why don't you get a banjo minnow? Why don't you get this? That, like these kinda,
like it's a gimmick.
Like it's a gimmick. Yeah,
the gimmick baits over the years, right? There was another one, too. I can't remember. It was great, though. It reminded me, like, oh, I remember those. Well, let me tell you right now, there's no gimmick.
No.
You know, anybody out there thinking live bait's just a gimmick, like, say, a banjo minnow? They don't know what they're talking about.
Slow
They've never
death,
fished it,
yes.
Obviously.
Slow death is one of the most solid presentations to come along in the last 20 years.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, I like to make the comment, because basically, if anybody that doesn't know what slow death is, it's just a bent Aberdeen hook. So the straight part of the shaft has got a little bend in it. You feed the crawler onto it, and with that bend, when you run it behind a bouncer or whatnot, a weight system like that, it causes the whole hook and crawler to barrel roll, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a way enticing action.
Yeah, it makes me, I always think of a cat right away. It's like a cat with a string or something. They can't help it. They have to go after it.
Right.
And we're talking every species. You're going to catch everything, you know. So if there's a bunch of junk, you know, panfish and stuff around, guess what? You're going to be dealing with them. Highly, highly effective.
Yep. Highly.
Yep.
We have cashed a lot of checks over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep. I would say it's your two's go-to. I would say that if you're having any issues with
if the bite's tough,
fish or a bite tough bite, you two go right to death.
Well, and I'll tell you what, as much as I love the Lindy rig, let's just say that it's a Lindy rig bite, and that's what everybody's doing. It's Lindy rig time out on some flat. Well, I promise you, and I don't care who it is, I'd go up against Al Linder. That's right, I said it. Al in one boat, me in my boat. He can sit there and drift his Lindy rig at 0.5.
Al and Babe Winkleman, would you do both?
If I have Brad.
Oh.
Excuse me. Yeah. Whoa. Yep. I can pull slow death pretty good. I can do it pretty good. I'm not trying to.
So, Alan, Babe, it's a challenge.
Alan, yeah.
You guys are going to Lindy rig, and we're going to pull slow death.
We love Lindy rigging, too.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love it, and it works great. It's fun. But in the right situation, like a flat like that, where you're not adjusting depths constantly and stuff, it's a nice, perfect flat. Yeah, it's a simple fact of they're gonna eat it because they love it. But you're going 0.8, 0.9 compared to a 0.5. You're covering twice as much water. You're going in front of twice as many fish.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a precise presentation. It's right down under the boat or just off to the side of it, slightly back at a 45. You can really weave in and out in tight quarters and fish it.
A lot of control. Yep. You have a lot of control.
Well, so let's tell everyone how you rig it is.
So real quick, because we're going to burn through these fast. You know, we just use our trolling rods basically with our 10-pound mono. We'll tie on a bottom bouncer. we've kind of, over the years, a lot of people like to go with real light bouncers and stuff. No, we like to go heavy.
Yeah.
And kind of the rule of thumb is, based on the depth you're fishing, use as much weight to achieve a 45 degree angle.
Right.
Well, typically that's kind of how it works out anyway, it seems like. But more times than not, we use 2 ounce bouncers. Ounce and a half to 2 ounces.
2 ounces is pretty standard.
So go heavier. Trust me, just do it. We run about a 3 foot snell of Berkley 100% pure fluorocarbon, 6 pound test. That was another thing on this thread on Facebook. Oh, yeah, 12, 15 pound.
No. Yeah, that's way too heavy.
I'm like, and their point was because if you go with too light a line, you're going to end up with the biggest snaggled mess you've ever seen because of that barrel roll, right? Uh-huh. Well, we overcame that. So on the back of a bottom bouncer, there's a
snap swivel.
A snap swivel. So a lot of people just, you know, tie their rig right to that snap swivel or their loop on it and hook it up. Well, we learned, and we do. You do get tangled up with a light line. We put another snap swivel right on there. Right onto the...
You do snap? I do barrel. So I make it a small barrel swivel.
Well,
and I just hook it right through the snap.
We do a snap just so you can get your rig on and off. You know, your snell that we just tied an overhand knot in.
Right.
But regardless, now we've got 2 swivels.
No issues. You run double swivel?
Yep. So you want to know a trick I do with the barrel? So I tie a loop in mine too, right? So I feed it through... The end with the loop of, that goes off to my slow death, I feed it through the eyelet of the barrel, and then I just drop the hook. Because it's just single hook, so it's not getting messed up.
Yeah,
I just drop it through, and it pulls it through. So, it almost doubles up your amount of line you have to
Yeah,
but anyways.
That's preference.
Yeah, because then you can unhook the barrel swivel off the snap and just leave it on there. And switch up to another one or whatever.
Sure.
You know.
Well, the point is we've played around with 10 pound. We probably even pulled 12 pound, like thinking
Doesn't
spin as well.
Right.
And you know what? There's just something about using the lightest line you can to get fish. You are going to get bit more.
Well,
it applies to slow depth.
Yeah. And I can attest that I fished a ton of tournaments with you guys. I fished a ton of times where we're in practice or whatever. And you two catch the most fish out of anybody I've ever seen on slow depth. I mean, and we can use the same thing. And you'll be like, oh, death. We're getting them on death. And I do tend to use a little bit heavier line just because that's what I have more available, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll usually go at the minimum 10. But you guys in the trick may be that you do go that lighter line.
There's the trick. Here's the trick, Josh. Listen to what we say.
I was thinking it.
I just complimented you both, and that's the best you got.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That was it. But come on. We're spoon feeding you, and you're not even listening.
6 pound is it.
Yeah. You're 6 pound. Okay, well, what's the... look at the giant fish we've caught on death with 6 pound test. How big was that cat last fall?
23.
It was gigantic. No problem.
6 pounds.
And the hooks aren't that expensive. So if you end up losing hooks, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that all comes down to your drag system.
So the last couple things with death before we move on is speed is critical. You know, you want, and you got to make sure that crawler is spinning. So if you drop it down next to the side of the boat, if it's not spinning at your 0.8, 0.9 right in there is what we usually like to run it at. Make adjustments on your crawler. That's usually all it takes. Either pull it back down onto the hook.
It takes a little bit to learn how to put slow death on.
Right.
You take it right through the head of the crawler, I guess, through the tip.
The median.
And then you run it all the way through until you just get past that...
collar.
The collar. Mm-hmm. Like a quarter inch past the collar, then you pull it out past the hook.
And you just let the hook peek out. Like, you want that worm to be bent along that hook.
We usually probably run about 2 inches behind that crawler.
Well, and how much... See, and here's the deal. They have a new hook out called Super Death, right? And it came out a couple years ago, where you can... In theory, do a full crawler, but I have found that sucks. I'm a half a crawler, like you said, an inch and a half or
slow,
more.
Slow death, I've ran full crawlers, no problem.
Yeah, but do you catch fish? I catch more fish with the half than I do with the full.
We usually run about a 3/4 crawler. I mean, because they're all different sizes, but just about an inch and a half, 2 inches
inch and
past
a half,
the past the bend of the hook.
About an inch and a half, and that seems to be the
And we always, another little trick too is because we've done it so much, we even if I want to run a full crawler, I'm pinching off the last eighth of an inch. It's central. I don't know what it is. It makes a difference.
It does.
It makes a difference to have that crawler pinched off at the end.
It does.
Yep. So here's the trick. You drop out, you find bottom. So you're just barely, you know, ticking the bottom, and then give it a couple cranks up. So you're the wire on the bottom of your bouncer is just right above the bottom.
And look at your depth finder when you dropped.
Yeah, and kind of see if you've got a line counter reel, you can double check that. But basically, you find bottom, then reel it up just so it's just off the bottom as you're running. And we've kind of figured out too, it's best to just stick those rods in the rod holder. Don't hold them, because what happens is you overreact, you feel the bite, and first, just our natural tendency is to set the hook. Well,
slow death,
you lose a lot of fish doing that. So, and I think that's the other thing about slow death. I think a lot of people may have tried it, and I think a lot of people may get bit on it, but they can't get a hookup. And they get frustrated, and they're like, this is stupid. Not doing this. This doesn't work.
Right. Single hook, it's not a good system.
Yeah,
I know their problem. They're setting the hook.
Yeah, they're yanking the hook right out of the fish's mouth.
Just pick it up.
So what we've learned is it's just riding in the rod holder, and you watch the tip. And just the tip, just mm-hmm. watch it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, when you're not touching anything, it's just going to be sitting there. But you hit bottom, it might tick a little bit. Well, you can spot the bites. It may drop a quarter inch and just sit there.
Yeah.
It may just come undone, and, you know, it's obvious there's a fish there. No matter how you detect the bite, don't just grab the rod and set the hook.
Yeah.
Just grab the rod, raise it up in the air, and as you're slowly raising it and adding pressure to the fish, start reeling.
Yep.
There's no hook set. It'll hook themselves.
Yep.
Our hookup percentage went way up once we kind of figured this out.
Probably 95% hookups from 50%.
Yes. Yeah, we do not miss a lot of fish.
All right, moving on.
Slow death is awesome. But Lindy Riggin, okay, so Lindy Riggin's been around longer than all of us. Well, I've been around longer than Lindy Riggin. They developed it when I was a young boy, and I can't believe they didn't call it Mitch Riggin.
Oh, my gosh. I was listening to this.
No, so what's awesome about Lindy Riggin, to me anyway, is it is the...
You against the fish.
It's you against the fish.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yep, it really is. And, you know, you're sitting there... I'm going to assume that most people understand what Lindy Riggin is and know that it's a slip sinker, just a snell. Usually we use fluorocarbon. So we're fishing a lot lighter rigs now. It's probably 6 to 8 pound test mainline to that a barrel swivel. And then you've got your slip sinker. And there's all kinds of different slip sinkers you could use.
L weights, pencil weights, whatever.
Yep, Lindy weights, egg weights, down the line. Yeah.
Bullet weights.
And you feed that onto the snell, which is attached to your hook, and, you know, we usually just go with wide gap.
But the weight is above the swivel.
Yeah,
so
above
it
the
keeps
swivel.
It from sliding down to the hook. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you're drifting, you know, you're bringing the weight with you.
Open bail.
Yeah, you fish this with an open bail with your finger on the line holding the line, and when you feel the bite, and sometimes it can just be just a tick.
Because you're going to feel it dragging on the bottom. It wants to hang. Yeah. That's the hardest part when I take people out is they're like, is that a bite? You'll know it's a bite. It's like like you talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's electric.
That's the difference.
Fireline or mono?
Mono, myself. Now, here's the deal.
I do fireline.
Yeah.
Because
Brad and Josh both can feel it.
Yeah,
they can feel it. And I think mentally the only reason that I don't like fireline is because in a tournament years ago, we were right at the buzzer, and I think I busted something on my mono rod, broke my line or something. I can't remember what the deal was. And so I grabbed my fireline jigging rod and set it up real quick. And sure enough, we're going across, and I had been fishing with mono my whole life, Lindy Riggin, because I like to let them have it, you know, when I close the bail and reel up the slack and let them have it. Well, sure enough, I got a bite right away and yanked it right out of his mouth.
Our next t-shirt that we're going to put for sale, it's going to be your own personal t-shirt, and it's going to have his catchphrase, sure enough. Sure enough. And you're like, and sure enough. And I'm like, holy cow, that's his catchphrase. It's like, you know, it's perfect.
Well, sure enough.
That's awesome.
Trademark, sure enough.
Sure enough rigging. We're going to call it sure enough rigging.
That'd be awesome.
But that you're going to, like you said, about 0.5, it's usually a drift, but you don't have to drift.
You right. use your trolling motor.
You can do your trolling motor.
Sure, if it's dead calm. Sure the point of the 0.5 is a lot of times people will fish with a Lindy rig, or a leech, I'm sorry, yeah. for their bait. Leech, crawler, fathead minnow, big chub.
Sucker.
You can use all kinds of different live baits. But a leech swims about a half mile an hour naturally in the water. So that's why they say to try to keep it slower than 0.5.
Yeah, so that leech doesn't flatten out. It can move and swim.
Let him sit there and swim and squiggle around and stuff. Kind of the whole key with this is as you're drifting your area, and it works great. You can with depth changes and stuff, you don't have to really worry about it. You can just keep on a dragging, because like Brad mentioned, you're going to feel that weight on the bottom, and it's going to get kind of hung up and drag, and you feel that. Well, a bite, when a fish goes after it, it's electric. That's kind of the difference. That's the best way I can come up to explain it. The instant you feel the fish, you remember it's you against the fish. So,
because you have an open bail, you have that line on your finger.
Yeah, you've got your line on the finger. So the whole key is you want to be able to feel that fish before he feels you and any resistance from your line and your setup. So the whole key, you got to be focused. You got to be paying attention. And boom, when you feel that bite versus dragging the bottom, how that feels the same, and all of a sudden there's that electric, it's a bite. Boom, you want to release the line and let it go. Give that fish the line so he can take the bait into his mouth.
And turn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Suck it in, turn, and commit. A lot of times, walleyes, they're not stupid, so they might take that bait and just hold it even loosely in their mouth really committing. Yeah, right. They're not really hooked. So if you just say you just went and set the hook instantly, we have the tendency to do. That's my number one thing with bringing people out to Lindy Rig. They can't help but just set the hook right away. It's opposite. Like, I feel a bite and I'm supposed to give them line. That doesn't make sense. But the whole key is so the fish gets it in his mouth, commits to it, bites down, basically. Give it a second. Give it a few seconds, depending on the time of year and size of bait. All the factors come in. But then you close your bail, reel up your slack until your rod tip loads up with the weight of the fish. And then that same instant, just a sweep set hook set, and bingo, got him.
Yeah.
And when you don't, you get mad, and then you want to get another one.
Yeah.
And that's where it's you against the fish.
It is a really good time going out there Lindy rigging, because it's you against the fish. You feel everything.
Right.
And you're. It's not like trolling like we've talked about in other podcasts, which is fun, but it becomes monotonous. You're just sitting there watching your flags or your boards or your,
right.
your tips of your rod. Slow death's kind of like that. Sometimes it gets a little monotonous if the bite's not on. But this, you have to focus the whole time.
Yeah, you do.
It keeps you in the game.
And that's part of the fun, too.
What was the last one you want to talk about?
Vertical jigging. Because that's a lot of fun, too, right? Well, that's another you against the fish.
Yeah, and that's a technique that can be used in a river system. That's a technique that can be used in fall, in the early spring, in the middle of the summer. I mean,
it's really an all-around.
It really is.
You could vertical jig all the time.
And you can do it in heavy cover. You can do it on a sand flat. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, vertical jigging is something you have to master. Biggest thing with vertical jigging is boat control.
Fire line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boat control and fire line.
Yeah.
That's it. That's done. Easy. We're done. Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
No. Go ahead. Talk about it.
Well, the boat control, what he's talking about is, vertical jigging. We're trying to present those baits not really moving, maybe up and down if we're going to jig it a little bit, but we want to drop it right in front of their face. So if there's fish on a break,
you're going to fish structure vertical jigging, or you're going to fish a pot of fish that are relating to something.
This is something
where you're cruising around, or your lake, and there's fish stacked up on a point, fish stacked up on this flat or whatever. It's not, you're fishing a spot, not...
Yeah, you're not finding fish.
No,
you know they're there.
Spot within a spot.
Mm-hmm. Those are the best ones.
Those are the best ones.
I get points for whipping that one out.
Don't be whipping it. No points.
No.
Well, you guys both love the vertical jig.
I do.
I don't know if there's
jigging
a walleye fisherman that doesn't.
Blade baits, spoons. I mean, all of that is considered vertical jigging. Mm-hmm. But the live bait vertical jigging is something that is a real art that takes some practice.
Typically, though, I would say probably 90% of the time that we vertical jig, and we're just talking jig heads, I'm not talking blade baits or anything like that, it's crawlers, though.
Oh, yeah.
We typically use crawlers.
Right. Yep. So
sometimes we use a minnow head. or minnows, mm-hmm. but I mean, but most of the time it's crawlers.
Mm-hmm. So what's a typical rig for vertical jigging?
6'6" medium action rod with the fast tip.
Spinning or?
Spinning rod, yep, mm-hmm. spring reel.
No.
Fire line for your line. 10-4 fire line.
You like 10-4? See, it's so funny, you guys go so light most of the time, and but when you go vertical, you go 10-4.
Well, it's just because of the fire line.
Yeah. See, and I like the 8 when I vertical, just because, I mean, it's already thin as it is, but it's so sensitive mm-hmm. that I don't know. I have a rod rigged with 8 and a rod rigged with 10. So.
Well, the 8-pound fire line?
Yeah.
So really, what's that, a 2-pound diameter?
Yeah.
So in, you know, in theory, you're trying to go lighter than we are.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's so light, though. You know, that part of it, and that's your main line.
Right.
Again, we're vertical jigging, so then we'll put on our Snell, usually of fluorocarbon, sure. most of the time.
Yeah, but I've even done direct tie.
Just direct tie.
I've done a lot of direct tie vertical jigging.
Love the crystal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fire line crystal. And mm-hmm. yeah, no, I agree. Yep. I agree. And then go jig head. And again, I like to. I'm with you on this one with the bottom bouncer. Same theory. I tend to go just a little bit heavier. I like to keep contact with the bottom, mm-hmm. and that helps with. Waves, wind, you know, the whole boat control thing, a little more weight on the end of your jig line helps
and again, we're vertical jigging. I want to get it down there fast. I want to know that control and know right where it is. And I don't think, you know, a heavier jig head is going to slow down a vertical jig bite
versus
if you're pitching jigs up shallow.
Right. Totally different.
Yeah.
And we've done that before when we've been out there because typically most jig heads that you're going to use start around that 1/4 ounce, 3/8 ounce when you're vertical jigging.
Yeah, absolutely,
most.
Yeah.
But it really depends on how deep you're fishing too. If you're finding those fish in 32 feet of water, that 1/4 ounce jig is going to take a long time to get there.
Yeah.
We're going to go 3/8 or half.
And it's going to move around down there.
The rivers,
where you can barely
feel it. I used to fish up in the Missouri River or Niobrara or wherever, up in Lake Yankton with a lot of current, you're going to fish 3/8 to 1/2 ounce all the time. And I'm telling you, we have caught a ton of fish doing that.
Yep.
And small, large, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't seem to matter. The presentation of keeping it vertical is the most important.
Yep. Right, right. Yep. And it can be vertical with a jig tipped with a crawler or leech or minnow or whatever.
Or with a or twister tail.
Yep, it can be gulp, you know, tipped with another half of a gulp mm-hmm. cut off to mm-hmm. give it bulk. It could be, I mean, all kinds of, it could be a ripple shad. The smaller ripple sheds, you know, that you just jig with the paddle tail, and the paddle tail flops and it comes mm-hmm. back down. I mean, so it really is a very versatile system, especially this time of year, the Detroit River and all these different fisheries that feed into these bigger Great Lakes. I mean, you know, the Ford River, Cedar River, all these other ones, they come in, Fox River, they all have all these different areas where vertical jigging in these pockets are what catch these fish.
When we were up in the Fox River up in Green Bay, we spent, well, we were up there for 10 days of fishing. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
But we spent a lot of time out on the big water, right? Mm-hmm. Trolling cranks and trolling spinners.
Right.
But we also probably spent 2 or 3 days vertical jigging in the Fox River. And oh my God.
It was so fun.
It was so awesome. Yeah. The only thing that sucked about it is you were catching walleye, but we were catching drum and catfish.
Right.
And it was big, nonstop.
They're all big fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what sucked is when you're fishing for walleye, and you're catching, you know, a bunch of 6 to 12 pound catfish and sheephead, and we're like, God, we're trying to catch walleye here. But it was still fun because they're all big.
Yeah.
But vertical jigging.
Well, I tell you what, I got 3 quick tips for vertical jigging, and then we'll wrap this up. One, as you're sitting there vertical jigging, keep your rod tip close to the water.
Yes.
Down low. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be right on the water, but I see people sitting on their boat vertical jigging and they're holding a rod up in the air. Well, what happens if you feel a bite? You have nowhere to go with the hook set.
Right.
So keep it down low. So you have plenty of room to bang them, right?
And you can just give little twitches while it's down low. And you know, it takes so little energy to do it like that.
So pay attention to even how you're holding your rod. It helps. Something small. Another thing, if you get bit and you don't hook up, right, check your bait. You probably got jaked. Double check. 98% of the time, they stole your bait and
ripped
if
it
you
off.
Don't check, you're going to be sitting there fishing with a bare hook. So
if you hear us saying jaked, that means...
Yeah, you got jaked. And third, whether you get jaked or catch a fish, when you bait back up and get your crawler back on, whatever, and you're getting ready to drop down, take a quick double check. Always have the knot right on the top of the island. So if you picture if you're looking sideways at a jig and how the eyelet's on top of the jig head, ball head jig we're talking, make sure you slide that knot so the line is on the top. It'll hold the bait horizontal in the water, increasing your hook set percentage. Every time you catch a fish, or even if you miss a bite,
check it,
because what'll happen is that if you yank on it, that knot will slide down to the front of the eyelet, and sure, then it'll hang there at an angle down,
and you're gonna miss fish.
Yeah. So. And the ball head jig head is the basic, but they make several really good jig heads that can do, you know, the same thing. So you just have to play with it and see what you like best.
Yeah.
Nope. Well, from all of us at All Eyes on Fish, I'd like to thank you for listening to the podcast and also sharing this with your friends. If you have anything that you'd like us to cover, make sure you are sending an email to us at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com or correspond with us through Twitter or Facebook, or whatever.
Instagram. And also, we are starting to get more and more of you guides, you big water guides, and you guides from all over sending us your info, and we'll put you on our webpage. For the people in our area and who want to go back to your area on vacation, they can find you. They can go right. I'll link it right to your webpage, and they'll be able to book you guys right away. So
yeah, keep sending. On our website, we put that on their fishing reports from as many different states as we have. We want you guys to be able to go someplace and have a good time, success. Have the info. So if you're a guide out there too, and wherever you're out, South Dakota, Connecticut, wherever, and you want to be on we just put it on there.
Yep.
So it gives our listeners, hey, I'm going to Connecticut.
Let's see what All Eyes has.
Go there and say, oh, okay, Jim's walleye fishing or Jim's bass fishing, whatever it is. At least you have a place to start.
Right.
Right. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. Yep. So, hey, we'd like to thank everybody for following us. Until next time, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube, or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.